On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I discuss the latest accolade that Shane Beamer has received, discuss what in the heck is going on with our men's basketball team, and give a women's basketball mid-season retrospective. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 36 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I honestly am starting to feel like a weatherman on this show. I feel like I'm saying, I hope you're staying warm, hope you're staying safe, because it just feels like the last two or three episodes, we've just been in the midst of storm after storm this winter. And so if you are in the Southeast, bundle up. Hunker down, make sure you got everything, because it seems like there's an ice storm, a snowstorm, I don't know. Today up here, there was snow, it's cold, it's dark, it's depressing, the men's basketball team stinks, it's just not been the best couple of days, but that's all right, because we battle, we persevere, hashtag win anyway, I think that was one of our hashtags, that feels like that was the baseball team, when Ray Tanner was the coach, that feels right, like when hashtags were like, first kind of a thing, Twitter, you had to, you remember you used to text into Twitter? I don't know if some of y'all did that or not. I did. I've been on Twitter for way too long. Don't find my personal. Follow Cox Gamecocks for the latest updates on the show, fun takes, and just stuff in my life. Before we get started here, I have a fun Carolina fact for you. I got a fun daily calendar for my desk with trivia and factoids about South Carolina athletics. So shout out to my mom. It's a great gift. And here we go. So today's fact was 5 years ago, South Carolina's men's soccer player, Danny Deacon, was chosen in the third round of the MLS Super Draft. He was picked by Orlando City SC. Shout out Danny Deacon. Shout out. Got drafted in the third round to Orlando City SC. I hope he's still in the league. I'm sure he is. Our men's soccer program hasn't been bad. They got a new coach this year. I mean, granted, this was 5 years ago, but yeah. Good for Danny Deeks, Stone Stadium. That's a nice little spot. I lived in Bates when I was at Carolina, and Stone Stadium was, no pun intended, a stone's throw away. Went there a couple of times. Really, it's honestly fun. A little game under the lights. Get some popcorn. Hang out. Maybe try to, excuse me, mister, by the, kangaroo. See if you get a couple brewskis. But hey. It's good times there, so shout out him. So what we're going to do this episode is we're going to review this past week in updates in Carolina athletics. We're going to talk about the men's basketball team, their recent game against Arkansas, talk about what's going on, their next game. And then, because there is a gap in the women's schedule, there was really no game this week to talk about, preview, etc. Going to take this time to do a mid-season retrospective. So remember we did that for the bye week. For the football team. So figured this is not an official bye week, but there's a pause in the schedule. So we'll take the time, look back at everything the women's team has done to this point, what their goals are, and then we'll wrap this up. So we're going to dive right in here. This past week, really cool note out of the athletics department, our Carolina athletics across teams recorded their 30th consecutive semester with at least a 3.0 GPA. Shout out to the Gamecocks. Clap it up. That is impressive. 3.0 GPA, that is a B average if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to be dating myself, but that is solid. And 30 for 3.0. So there's some symmetry there. That's something to celebrate. That's always fun when shit like that happens. But really, I mean, we do forget that these athletes are student athletes and student comes first. And, you know, on this show, the focus is the major sports for the most part, and in your casual fan's mind, it typically is like that, a lot of football, basketball, baseball, but sometimes we forget about all of the other sports, and there are some incredible programs out South Carolina with incredible track and field team, right? We have a good I just said track, but we have a good golf team, you know, men's golf, women's golf, you know, we've got equestrian. Like, there are so many different sports, and to have that mark across the board is really impressive. And you see the resources that the school has really dedicated to that with the Doty Athletic Center and things like that. So slowly but surely, South Carolina has invested a lot of money in the athletic department to make it a destination for multiple sports. And I think we're starting to see the fruits of that in different places. And hopefully it's a very great trend for across the board. So shout out if you're an athlete and you listen to sport. First off, shoot me a DM. You want to become the first Cox Talking Gamecocks athlete? Got you. But also congrats on your grades. Keep studying. And then also, Shane Beamer, he won the Steve Spurrier First Year Coach of the Year Award. Congrats, coach. That is a serious award right there. Technically speaking, I know there's going to be some person technically. He's sharing the award co-winner with Heupel in Tennessee. But here's the deal. Shane Beamer was the only true first-year head coach finalist. It was him, Malzahn, and Heupel. Malzahn and Heupel had been head coaches before. They were just at new schools. Shane is the true first-year head coach. He is the winner. He had no experience in building a program, no experience in building a staff, no experience in managing a ball game. He's the winner. And we can talk ad nauseum. I can talk till I'm blue in the face about the job that Shane Beamer has done, because it is truly, truly remarkable. I mean, we can go into wins and losses, but I think the intangible things that he has done with the program deserve all of that recognition and then some. Not only did he noticeably change the culture within that locker room, you can literally see it not just from the field, but the attitudes of the players in and around campus, on social media, all of that, but he had changed the attitude and the culture of the fans. Like, yes, the fans in general of all sports, of all teams, they're going to always want more. Like, okay, what's next? Like, but with Carolina, it just, the last year or two before Shane got here, it was just this almost like a spoiled milk. It was just like, oh, like, you know, that, like, that's all you can do. Like, are you even trying? Like, this, that, like, bad tweets, bad vibes. And he changed that. And he brought legitimate hope. He brought optimism, even in the face of bad times in the season, blowout losses. He stuck to the course. He believed in these guys, kept preaching that Carolina is the place to be, and look how it ended up. And now look at the offseason that we've had. So kudos to Shane. Big ups. Well-deserved, well-earned. It is the first of many. The best is yet to come. And if you haven't seen it on social media already, there have been incredible stories shared about Shane Beamer and the type of coworker he is. Because people forget, like, yeah, he's a coach, but he's a coworker too. With his coaches and the recruiting coordinators, everyone that works in that ops building, he's essentially a boss, like a colleague. So sometimes beyond the X's and O's, there's people you have to deal with. And some of the stories that he shared, or that have been shared about him, rather, are just truly remarkable. If you haven't seen it, go check out Justin King's story. Really tells you the type of man that Shane Beamer is, and I am incredibly proud to say that he is leading our football team and can confidently say that he is leading our team in the right direction. So congrats. Really happy for you, man. Man, like, I know the guy. Buddy, congrats, bud. Congrats, coach. Regardless, it's a good deal. All right, so now shifting gears. We're going from a high to a low here. Men's basketball, they lost to Arkansas Tuesday night, 75-59. So we're going to start with a little bit of sweet before we get into the meat of this thing here. Devin Carter, great performance. 20 points and 6 rebounds. He actually was put into the starting lineup for the first time this year, and he seemed to respond, especially early on. And then James Reese followed up things with 10 points and 3 assists. And in that same breath of starting and playing well, Jermaine Cousinard and A.J. Wilson both did not play. Now, this is an elephant in the room for anyone talking about our basketball program right now, because I'm paraphrasing here, but when Frank was asked about it, he basically said, like, they have to be in a mental place to be able to do their job. I don't know what the hell that means, because isn't it your job to help get them there, to coach them up as head basketball coach? Like, that feels like there is some sourness in that locker room that they're not bad blood, but just maybe just bad attitude, and that can spread, and that can really crush a locker room. So they have to squash that, whatever's going on. And I would think a guy like Cousinard, who's been here for a while, and Wilson, that you'd think they'd want to figure it out. And I don't want to put all the onus on the player, because I do think in situations like that, you might need to get coached up. You might need a helping hand, an arm around the shoulder, something like that. But, like, figure it out, practice through it, and let's go, because the team needs you guys. But Frank needs to figure that out. Like, that falls on Frank. Anyway, to sum up the game here, Carolina, we were up 40-33 at the half. Honestly, played an incredible first half. Devin Carter, again, came out shooting lights out. The team was playing well. Josh Gray got some quality minutes, played really well in the post for us. And then in the second half, you would have thought like the Monstars came into our locker room and took our talent, because we proceeded to get outscored in the second half 42-19. It was the coldest, sloppiest, most apathetic I have seen basketball in a long time. And there have been some sloppy, rough games for Carolina, but it was like Arkansas went to the half and they actually made adjustments and they came out with a game plan, and Carolina came out and looked flat, flat, flat. Almost like they just expected it to keep going, that they were hitting their shots and things like that. There were no adjustments. No timeouts called right away. Arkansas, for the whole game here, went 0 for 11 from 3 points. Carolina still lost the game. Arkansas, let me say this again, Arkansas shot 0% from beyond the arc, and South Carolina still lost. That's Arkansas's identity. They play fast, they shoot the three. I'm going to quote Stephen A. Smith here, but how do you do that? How do you do that? I did not know that that was possible in this modern age of basketball, where people shoot the three willingly and freely. It just was a remarkable tale of two halves. And the atmosphere in Arkansas was great. Their fans stayed, and they made an impact. But to get outscored 42-19, that's not even competitive. That's not competitive. They did not put a competitive team on the floor in the second half. Just because you're up a little bit at the first half doesn't mean jack. So before this game, I didn't go as far to say that Frank needs to leave, and I'm not just going to take one episode and just do that, but I said the team was at a crossroad. You either needed to see a big turnaround right away, and you had an opportunity to do that on the road against a solid Arkansas team. Their record might not reflect it, but they're pretty good. Or if the trend kept going, that road ends with needing a change in leadership. And they took a leap in the wrong direction, into the direction that if this keeps up, you have to look at new leadership. So tree was trending. It was hashtag fire Frank. You know, I'm not going to, you know, bury myself in that yet, but the writing's on the wall. The leadership is just not there. But their next game, if we want to get back into things here, is Saturday at 3:30 against Georgia. Now, normally those words are great. Saturday, 3:30 start, Georgia at home. Oh, yeah. That's for football, people. This is for basketball, where Georgia is 5-13 overall and 0-5 in the SEC. I mean, our overall record is much better, but we're 1-4 in the SEC now. But the biggest disparity in the stats besides the overall record is UGA allows 75 points per game on average compared to South Carolina's 68. So UGA does not play much defense. So hopefully Carolina can get this thing going. My first quote of the game here, if there are new listeners, I don't do keys to the games. I don't do that for football. I don't do it for basketball. I'm going to keep doing it for baseball probably. Keys are tired. Everyone does that. I do crows. We have our rooster crow. First one is keep Devin Carter in the starting lineup. He brings toughness. He can score multiple ways. He's not afraid of contact. And he's a decent free throw shooter. Play through Devin Carter. My second quote of the game here is just literally just understand what is on the line in this game and respond accordingly. Right? Georgia is not that great. You're at home. There's still a lot of basketball left in this season. And I don't know if there's room left to maybe make the tournament. I think that ship has sailed. But if you want to get hot and form any sort of success of a season, it starts here. This is at home against a struggling team. You need a bounce back win. we still have to play the top teams in the conference, some of them again. We have to play Auburn again. We have to play Kentucky. We have to play Tennessee. So if there's any place to find momentum, it's this game. You're not going to get it down the line. And ultimately, what does Frank do now that this season has gone sideways, right? It feels like we just do the same thing over and over and over again, which is the definition of insanity. So can you try to motivate these guys differently? I don't know. Overall, though, as ugly as South Carolina has been, I think Georgia has been just as bad, if not worse, all year. It feels like a game that Carolina can handle. Hopefully we get a W, but then we got to see what we can do with that W. So let's go, Cox. We got to root them in. And now, moving over to the women's side of things here, a little mid-season retrospective here. To sum up, we're going to give the summary and then boil down into some things here. Number one team in the country, obviously, 17-1 record and 5-1 in conference. Technically, though, we are second in the SEC, one game behind Tennessee, who is undefeated in the conference. So that will be a big-time matchup when we meet up with them. Highlight wins to this point, there's a lot. And literally the first game was NC State. I didn't write that one down, but beat UConn 73-57 to win that tournament in the Bahamas. You beat Maryland 66-59. You beat Stanford in arguably the biggest win of the year, 65-61. That was at home. Exercised some demons from the last tournament. Really showed that you can battle through adversity. And beat LSU on the road at LSU in a tough environment against a coach who has given us problems in the past. Beat them 66-60. Now, some player highlights here for y'all. Gotta start with shipping up to Boston. Aaliyah Boston, team leading, 17 points and 11 rebounds per game. She's averaging a double-double, people. She is a double-double machine. She is amazing. We are so fortunate to have had Aaliyah Boston and Asia Wilson in this tight window that we have had them. And Aaliyah especially has really worked on her conditioning, worked on her technique, gotten to be a much better player than just a physical force. So really kudos to her. She's having an incredible year. Destiny Henderson, 12 points per game and team leading 4.6 assists per game. We'll give you the roundup five. Also shooting 40% from the three-point line. That's a good mark. And then Zaya Cook also averaging 12 points per game. And look, there's many key contributors to this team that I just don't have the time to list. Destiny Littleton, Victoria Saxton, Letitia Amy here. But the big three of Boston, Henderson, and Cook feels like our true big three for our team. And when they are healthy, they all have the ability to take over a game individually. But when two or three of them are cooking at once, look out, because that is darn near impossible to stop. So what's next for the women's team here? Still got a tough schedule ahead of us. Several ranked SEC matchups, notably Georgia and Tennessee towards the end of the season especially, but also a mid-season rematch with UConn that is set to happen next week. Now, when we beat UConn in the Bahamas, they were ranked number 2. They are ranked number 9 now, if I'm not mistaken. Paige Beckers got banged up, but it's still UConn. They got depth. They're well coached. So that should be a really, really big time matchup. I believe that game's at home, if I'm not mistaken. So that is going to be absolutely electric. But of course, though, the sights are set much higher for this team, for the SEC championship once again, but really the national championship. And this team was built for this, right? They were built for it last year. And it was snatched away from us on a bad bounce. And with everyone back, this is the type of team that you hear about that can be have a singular focus, and that is to be the last team standing at the end of the NCAA tournament, right? Everyone is back, and every now and then you get a team where the same people who came so close to a championship remember it together, and they use that as fuel throughout the year. And I believe that we have that with this team. It's not going to be easy. And getting through this regular season schedule could be tricky. Getting through the SEC tournament could be tricky. But when that big tournament starts, it's game on. And I hope that we can all celebrate together. Never count your chickens before they hatch. That's not a Gamecock pun. But fingers crossed, and we have our sights set on the big trophy. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. please follow me on social media. Already plugged Twitter, Cox Gamecocks. On Instagram, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you can, like and review to the pod, subscribe to the pod. I really appreciate it. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Let's go, Cox.